We're the farm station, all ag, all day. Ran into Dr. Brent Bean, the United Sorghum Checkoff Program. Brent, Commodity Classic, Orlando, opportunity to see producers really across the entire sorghum belt, right?
It is. And, you know, we get a lot of questions from growers up in, you know, in the Northeast, you know, different places. Like we had people come by from New York State the other day and Pennsylvania, and they can actually grow good sorghum up there. We don't think about it, but they can. And so it's always a good chance to visit with growers who just don't know much about sorghum.
Is it a great opportunity, really, to help expand the story of sorghum? I mean, you'd think, well, in New York, you might not have many opportunities to sell it there. But the fact that if you're growing it, you suddenly become kind of an expert in it.
You do in those areas. And, you know, that area actually is really good for bird seed. There's some actually very good contracts up there. Would make the High Plains grower a little jealous of what price they can get for bird seed. But they can get some good prices up in that region. So there are some of these kind of niche markets that pay very good for sorghum.
One thing they don't have to worry about is rainfall, and that is something that a good portion of the High Plains is dealing with. Dry conditions. Looks like we could see additional sorghum acres in 23. What are some things producers might need to keep in the back of their mind if they maybe haven't grown sorghum in a couple of years?
Yeah, and before I get to that, I will tell you a quick story about water. I was talking to a grower yesterday from southern Indiana, and he was actually growing sorghum, but one of his issues was sorghum was too wet. He said basically he can dig a post hoe, and the next day water will be seeping up into that post hoe. So anyway, different world sometimes. But, yeah, you know, on the High Plains and, you know, and around, you know, we're generally growing sorghum. Yeah, we're awfully dry, and everybody knows that. You know, sorghum is considered, you know, a drought-tolerant crop. But that being said, you still got to have rain. And so, you know, I think there's talk right now when I talk to crop consultants and growers, they tell me they think sorghum acres are going to kind of be up in the region. But then I talk to the seed companies, and they say, well, they're really not selling a lot of seed yet. So I think a lot of growers are just holding on, kind of waiting to make that decision, looking at, you know, what the commodities are going to bring, what kind of contracts they might can get, and then just, you know, waiting and looking to see how much rain we do get between now and May. And certainly, you know, we're all hoping we do get some rain. Even from a sorghum standpoint, again, being considered drought-tolerant, we've got to have some soil moisture. And so we'll just kind of keep our fingers crossed and hope for that. You know, I think certainly one area of sorghum that's growing in the region is silage sorghum. And most of that, if not all of that, is grown under irrigation. Well, a lot of these guys just don't have the water under irrigation to grow the corn silage. And so the sorghum silage has taken off, and I expect it to continue to do that. And a good example this last year, I know around Plainview area, there were some fields there that I'd looked at that really looked like they were dead. They were really about ready to turn them in for insurance. And we got those early August rains, and it took off. And, you know, I've heard of growers making 18, 20 tons on the silage sorghum. So it can respond to a little bit of water, and I do think we'll see those acres grow for sure.
You mentioned seed companies. We've got some new technology. In some instances, been talking about some of this technology for nearly 20 years now. It's been a while. What's happening?
Well, we have, and hopefully everybody's familiar with those technologies now, but I run across people every once in a while that aren't. But there's three technologies we can now use in sorghum to control grass, and that's something we just haven't had, and it's been a real issue. Now, in certain areas of the High Plains, we don't have a lot of grass pressure, but there are areas where we do. And if you have significant grass, you're just not going to grow much sorghum. So that's where these herbicides or these technologies really fit, is that guy who maybe has a barnyard grass or a sand burr, grass burr problem. That's where these fit. And they're very effective, all three of the technologies. We have S&W Seed that sells the Double Team sorghum, use a herbicide in the ACCA's family called First Act. A lot of growers are familiar with that in cotton as Assure, which was used for years, but, you know, it's a very good product. Advanta has Their iGrow sorghum sell a product called Emiflex, completely different chemistry. You cannot mix those. Completely different chemistry. You can use it either pre or post. They also, I'll mention, they also have a silage sorghum that is iGrow technology. So do hear some of these silage growers every once in a while wanting something to control grass in that silage. So that would be an answer there. Pioneer is just finally really kind of coming out with their Enzen sorghum this year, where they'll have significant amount of seed to actually sell. One issue with that particular hybrid, it's a 70-day to flowering. So that means it's going to be pretty much limited, more than likely, on the high plains to where it's being irrigated, and people are going to try to push the yields more, get it planted a little bit earlier. I don't see that going on any of the dryland acres.
Dr. Brent Bean is with the United Sorghum Checkoff Program online, sorghumcheckoff.com. It's the Farm Station All Ag All Day.